It's Thursday, January 16th, 2014, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the show about retro video games, and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to episode 45. Aw man, we ran out of wolf jokes. Running time for this episode is 48 minutes. Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games. My name is Jeremy.
I'm Tyler.
And I'm Zach.
We all actually said our names. I think this is the first time in like 10 episodes.
Have a stupid joke.
I know. Wow.
Those are hard to come up with.
They are, especially since we come up with them as we begin the intro. So.
Sometimes I have one ready.
Okay, well, there's not a whole lot in this game that we didn't do. Like, Buster Wolf was, I think, the best joke that we could possibly do for this game. So.
And we already did it.
Yeah.
And we failed at it. Previously on last time.
Yes! I should just post that.
Kickback!
Did you ever see that Flash video that's just like a bunch of Terry sound clips?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a cute dog. What are you going to name him? Buster Wolf! Terry, what are you doing?
That's right.
Well, at least use different needles every time. Anyway. It's about video games. That's relevant.
Last time on About Video Games, what were you playing, Tyler?
So it's only like a year or two, I think, too late. But I finally started Skyrim, and it's pretty awesome. It doesn't have the same level of epicness that everyone seems to think it had. Like, I remember the stream of videos that came out right after it got released, and
a lot of those were because there were really amusing bugs that were slowly fixed that people were sharing.
Like the dragon in reverse.
Or the how butterflies could lift up mammoths.
Okay, that's hilarious. No, yeah. Most of them I saw were mostly just centered around how epic the story is. I'm like,
I'm just happy to have somebody else who vindicates my opinion of the game.
You go to the Jarl, right? And he's like, hey.
The Jarl?
The Jarl.
And your house, Kjarl.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, I'm going to make you vassal. Kill some dragons, bro. Save and load. That's your power. Also, Fusroda.
As I say,
less powerful than save load.
Speaking of which, can Lydia die? Because I kind of stopped having her follow me around because I didn't want to accidentally get her killed.
Only played Skyrim until I got to the Jarl.
Oh, really? Wow. I'm surprised you didn't play longer than that. That's only like 2 hours.
It didn't grab me.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. Actually, I like the combat in this game a lot more than Oblivion, but a lot of the changes they made to how stats work and just some of the smaller things, I just like Oblivion better. And really, Oblivion was, I think, an improvement over Morrowind, but I think this is a move laterally rather than a move up, so.
I agree.
And I think that at that point it's just personal preference. So, I don't know. I am definitely having fun with it, and I am definitely going to play it to completion.
It's definitely not a bad game. I didn't go to completion because
I would say this is actually an objectively good game. It's just not Oblivion. After having finished this, I still will have sunk a lot more time in Oblivion. I played that through like 4 or 5 times. And
Oblivion was a great game. This one feels like merely good. And that one felt like merely good.
Yeah, so, I don't know. It's fun, you get to kill dragons. I'm sad there aren't dragons in other Elder Scrolls games, but
I'm sad the dragons aren't nearly as epic fights as I would have wanted them to be.
Oh, yep. That reminds me, I saw The Hobbit Part 2.
Oh, did that come out already?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's about 90% stuff Peter Jackson made up.
Awesome.
So it's kind of better than the first one, though, because it has a consistent tone.
I was going to say, I would imagine it would have been hard in the first place to make 3 movies out of The Hobbit because it's kind of a short book.
Yeah, this one has a lot of Lord of the Rings prequel elements, which are good. Characterizes some of the dwarves, which is nice. It adds a female elven love interest for one of them, which is weird. But at the same time, hey, you have a powerful female character. Tolkien never did that, so good on ya. Legolas is in like 60% of the movie.
So what you're saying is that having someone other than Tolkien write made it better?
Yeah.
It's almost like Tolkien couldn't write.
But there were certain things that go on way too long. Like, you've read The Hobbit, right?
Yeah.
So Bilbo talks to Smaug. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Even though he has the One Ring of Power that makes him completely invisible and on a different realm, Smaug can still smell him because he's a badass dragon.
And also the richest fictional character in all existence.
They added this part where the dwarves go in to try and save Bilbo, and like they have a plan to try and fight Smaug, and it's actually pretty cool. It kind of sucks because you know that's not how Smaug dies, and so it's kind of pointless. But there's a bunch of times where like Smaug can't find them, even though he can smell one hobbit wearing the One Ring,
Apparently he can't smell six dirty dwarves and a hobbit not wearing the One Ring.
Maybe hobbits just smell really bad. Maybe the One Ring smells really bad.
Or maybe the dwarves just smell so bad Smaug is blocking them from his knowledge.
But they cover Smaug in molten gold. That's pretty cool.
That is actually
Although,
really sweet.
I really wanted, even before that, like Smaug is breathing fire in the treasure chamber. I really just wanted like the gold to melt around it. That would have been so cool.
On a scale from one to our most ridiculous tabletop plans, where does this plan rate?
For the dwarves?
Yeah.
Like, it's six.
Okay.
Like, it's there's logic there.
We never had the really, really ridiculous ones.
We've had some really, really ridiculous
ones.
There
is a point where, like, where are we going to get fire? And, like, dwarves, shut up.
What are you thinking that's one of the really, really ridiculous plans that we came up with?
I can't think of any off the top of my head, but we've had some ludicrously complicated ones that were probably needlessly complicated. I probably helped with that, but...
I don't remember those. Not saying they didn't exist, just saying I don't remember them.
Our general strategy for that poker tournament was needlessly complicated, but it was awesome, so... Oh, and the plan we had to evacuate sleeping gas into the entire fourth floor. Oh, that was gold.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt what you've been playing, but...
Oh, no, it's pretty much just
Dragons
Skyrim.
Related. And Skyrim.
Yeah, no, Skyrim's been pretty cool. I've been playing Pokemon still, because it's Pokemon. It's awesome. My team is sitting around level 45-ish now, so... Traditionally, I'm used to associating that with Elite Four level.
Yeah, it's weird, too. There's like a big gap between the first gym and the second, and then they start coming at about the rate you expect them.
I thought the game was going to be a lot longer than I think it's actually going to be because of that.
It's just because of the way the new experience share works, that your levels actually go up far faster than you would have
otherwise. I like that, too. They have a long range of levels and only used about half of it in the old games.
Well, what's really great about this is I actually feel like I could just ditch my entire party and start over with a new one and just like say, okay, you guys are trained enough. Let's go start a different team. And I feel like I can do that in the middle of the game because of that.
Yeah, well, I have about 10 Pokemon that I use. So.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying that is why they have a greater range of levels, is because they can.
Well, I actually went and did some math on this, and you find that if it wasn't for the experience share, you'd actually only be getting about 70% of the experience you do in Red and Blue. But with the experience share, you end up with, like, I think it's a grand total of, like, 210% of the experience that you get in those. So... Not 210% more, but 210% of.
Math.
So, yeah, no, it's oh man, that's such a great, all the design choices they made for this game were just so much better.
The one I don't really care for is the close-in third person when you're walking around the Moist City.
Yeah, that's hard to stare at.
Yeah,
I feel like they should have let you control your camera.
It's kind of hard to navigate there because of it, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think I talked about it last week, but I went exploring around the city a little bit, and it's like, you walk out of a building, and you can't even remember which way you're going because the camera is so weird.
Yeah, it's the only game I've ever encountered that had a camera almost as bad as that one was Dino Crisis 3.
I was going to say, you didn't play a lot of early N64 games, did you?
Because
those were the camera wars, man.
That one was on the Xbox, and it was kind of a fast-paced game.
Yeah.
I think you saw me playing it a couple times. Because I got it off of the Gamefly thing way back when. That
you
camera was awful.
Gamefly?
For like 6 months or so.
I don't. Wow.
But it was...
I didn't know anyone had that.
But like the cameras were all static for certain locations. So it's like, I have to run away from this biologically built T-Rex, but keep shooting at him. And my camera is now staring, I'm not sure what it's looking at, but it sure as hell isn't looking at what I'm supposed to be trying to kill.
A lot of people have problems with Devil May Cry, the original one for that same problem. There are a lot of places with the camera angle static, so.
I feel like that's part of the style of Devil May Cry, although I could see that still being a problem.
Yeah.
Like, well, Walking Dead, occasionally you'll run into that, because they very much want to control the camera to control
definitely.
The narrative.
That's a much more cinematic game, though, so. Devil May Cry is cinematic in the Michael Bay fashion. There's a lot of cool explosions and shiny to look at. I have one last comment to make about Pokemon before we transition. It's a short one, though. Does Lysander seem like too obvious a villain? Like,
Yes.
Like, he's constantly like, I like doing stuff for the good of humanity, but everyone who doesn't is filth. And no one thinks this is straight. Like, he's in a bar with you with the Pokemon professor. And he's like, Lysander's a great guy, after he's like just gone on a tirade about how he wants to destroy humanity. Like, really?
Yeah, he's pretty heavily telegraphed.
I understand it's intentionally a kid's game, so you kind of had to telegraph the villain. But, like, really? He seems kind of... And what's his goal, to destroy everyone? Like, doesn't he understand the cultural perspective will shift and ugliness, by his definition, will reintroduce itself because of human diversity? Like, come on!
I was going to say Zach would have been playing next, but being on the head and... what was the exact word you used? Now I can't remember.
What?
Never mind. That's a good transition into... I finished Arkham City. Oh. Or Origins. I finished Arkham City like a year ago. Probably two.
Oh, on the nose?
Yeah.
Is that the expression you're going for?
Yeah, there's a plot event at the end that I think they're trying to foreshadow, but it really comes off as them trying to hammer in, hey, look, this thing is important.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
I kind of want to play now just so I can say, yeah, that was terribly done, but...
Yeah, the ending was mediocre. All of it was bad. It's here. You can play it now.
Well, say, is it actually a bad game, or is it just worse than the
other Arkham? It's just a mediocre game.
Okay. That's unfortunate. Mediocre games are the worst.
Yeah. Like, the combat, as I've explained, not as good. The stealth, also not as good. It's just that they didn't introduce any new elements. And in Arkham City, a lot of the stealth missions are, like, ridiculously laid out because that makes for a fun game experience.
Yeah.
They didn't really do that in this one. There's not really any memorable stealth encounter.
Well, that's kind of the problem with mediocre games in general. It's like, well, this isn't bad.
Well, it fades out of memory. That's why.
I already talked about how bad the design is. There are literally, like, areas you go straight through a room and you get lost. Like, I would navigate would be like, well, Batman never comes through doors, so I guess I leave through the door. Even then, I'd be like, wait, this is blocked off, but this is, where am I supposed to go? Like, they're really bad at you through a linear level.
I feel...
Whoa, that's really, really hard to do.
That's a... Oh, man. Metroid Prime 3 kind of did that. Like, you didn't get lost, but the level design was, like, really... I don't know. It was weird, because you basically had linear rooms, and it's just... terrible idea.
I already talked about how this game is very dark, and one of the problems with...
Like, dark visually?
Visually. Yeah, darker than Arkham City.
Okay, wow. That game was, like, pretty dark. It was dimly lit.
One of the air quotes problems with telling a Batman story, especially a Batman origin story, is you have to make Gotham seem so terrible that a vigilante who's rich dressing up like a bat and going up punching criminals
seems like a good alternative.
Yeah. And so, like, the city is just so visually dark and busted. You know how in video games, cracked walls you can bomb?
Yeah.
You can't see them without detective vision because every wall is cracked with pipes coming out of it. And
there's a happy medium between Chicago and I can't think of another city, but there's a visual. You can tell the difference between a city that's working really well and
between like Detroit and Denver, for example.
Yeah. I mean, there's a big difference between those, but you look at that at like Detroit, which isn't doing so well. Every wall isn't cracking with pipes and stuff coming out of it. I mean, they're not that bad.
No, it's mostly a social climate thing rather than a physical. Like, there's a lot more graffiti, I guess.
Well,
but
part of that is Gotham has always had this gothic, larger-than-life feel to it. But
also, whoever was the main architect for that city goddamn loved his gargoyles.
Yeah, well, there have been stories about him. But Arkham City, you're literally in a prison city that is, you know, through prisoners in. Yet somehow Gotham looks worse in Arkham Origins.
Apparently the prisoners take a lot of pride in making sure their city stays clean.
Well, I think I outlined my Gotham reconstruction project for you, right? The reason the crime rate is so high is because the unemployment rate is high in that city. So they just demolish a bunch of the old falling apart buildings and then re-employed all these random criminals.
That's Bruce Wayne's long-term business strategy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, never mind then. Good job, Bruce.
Because, you know, you have to make Batman seem reasonable because he's considered the realistic superhero. But anyway, the boss fights went from passable Zelda imitations with a few inspired fights in City to terrible, terrible God of War knockoffs in Origins, and none of the boss fights are good.
Have any of us ever actually played God of War?
I'm raising my hand. I've never finished it, but I have played it.
Okay, I've never even played it. So.
God of War is by far the best game at using QuickTime events because they make them feel like gameplay.
As opposed to QuickTime events, so.
Arkham Origins makes all but one of the boss fights just feel like a QuickTime event. Like you're just, the boss fight with Firefly, probably the best one in the game. He's flying around on a jetpack. I'm so like, okay, what do I do against this guy? He's like, throw goo grenades, Batman, double clip R. I'm like, okay, I guess I throw goo grenades. Now batarangs, Batman, okay. Now Batclaw to pull him in. I'm like, okay, it would have been cool if I figured that out, but I guess I just follow the on-screen prompts.
That's awful.
Yes. That is. Although you can turn those hints off. I think that's part of...
They still show up in boss fights.
Do they? Oh. Oh, that's terrible. I don't say that's part of what makes games nice is they're an interactive experience. But if you take away part of that interaction, I think you're making that game less of an experience or
exactly
less of an interactive experience, or more of a passive experience. And like, you don't play video games to watch movies. If you want to watch a movie, you watch a movie. They're different experiences.
Another thing is every boss has a health bar because game mechanics. All of them are finished before the health bar runs out. And I don't know if that's supposed to be
What's
representative of Batman not killing, or because there's always a cutscene where Batman actually defeats the boss after the fight, which Origins and City never did, or Asylum and City never did.
Yeah, there was no like health bar in either of those, and basically when you landed the final blow, that was it. It like went into a cutscene of you landing the final blow as you press the button. So
what's really the point of adding a health bar and then not actually using it?
That seems misleading.
I mean, it does tell you, hey, you struck damage, so there's a bit of a purpose, but yes. It's okay in like Star Fox where they surprise you, like there's the boss where you run out their health bar and then like they come back.
Like the
That's
robot
one thing
in the junkyard
yeah,
area.
But then you keep fighting.
Yeah.
Well, like in Asylum, you didn't need the health bar telling you did damage.
Yeah, there was visual indication.
They reacted when you did damage. They did something.
Yeah, and the finale was really underwhelming. My literal thing was, wait, credits? That's how this game ends? The final boss fight is the best, but it's not good still. And, like, there's the conclusion, I guess, or the climax, not the conclusion, is a pretty cool moment. It would work really well in a comic. But in game, you don't do anything Batman does, so it feels hollow. Also, it's been so foreshadowed that Batman basically says what he's going to do and do it. And if it was the Scooby-Doo, okay, I have a plan, and then you see him do it, that would have worked better too. It wouldn't have been best. It would have been better. And it's just like, okay, also, I already did this. Also, there's like a plot point that's brought up and handled horribly right before that, but I don't want to spoil it because like the reveal is cool and then they just don't do anything with it.
Oh.
Point of having a reveal that you don't touch.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good question.
So I really hope that someone who has a lot more clout than us has pointed this out so they don't make the same mistakes for the next one.
Well, this is a different company that made this one than the first two.
Yeah,
oh,
this is an entirely different company handling it.
Did someone else buy the license?
No.
Or did someone just...
WB assigned it to them.
Okay.
The speculation is Rocksteady, who made the other two ones, is making a Superman or Green Lantern game.
Oh, God. That
but
sounds awesome.
That's entirely rumor.
Or WB was just afraid of having a third straight success on their hands and handed it off to somebody else.
The speculation is that they're like, okay, this franchise is established. There's a lot of creative work already done. Even if this is a flop, we can probably sell a fourth one on the good merits of the first two. So the speculations is they have Rocksteady doing something else, probably a new franchise and probably a superhero one because they're popular right now.
Indeed, which I can't complain about. I like superheroes, so I'm glad it's popular right now.
Yeah, I love the time I live in.
Superheroes.
Dude, we have drones delivering packages.
Yeah, I know.
We live in the future. And boy, drones are delivering packages. Superheroes are popular. What world have I stepped into? Nikola Tesla is getting recognition.
I'm not a big fan of superheroes. Just never have been.
Any particular reason, or?
I don't know. Just never really been a fan of superheroes.
Yeah, well, I do, like, daydreaming all the time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, superheroes are awesome. I should be a superhero.
You've also got the name for it.
Because it's alliterative? Yeah. So, and I'm a science major.
Only you could design web shooters like these. Zach, what do you like and what have you been playing?
Well, I've been playing a lot more League of Legends. Had a couple of games with Kevin and Jeremy this past week. Our buddy Kevin.
Those went pretty well.
They went really well. We had a lot of fun. It was weird because it was like looking at the end game screen. These guys have the same amount of gold bots usually have.
I think Kevin was 15-0-7 in one of them.
Wow. That's really good.
I thought he got killed once.
I know he got killed once in the first game. I thought in the second one he didn't, but I might be wrong.
I don't remember. I just remember peeling a lot of guys with my stuns. I like Leona.
So I just need to get Ed to start playing this, and then I'll start playing it with him, and then this will just be the lolcast.
Yeah, it'd be great.
It's a lot of fun. I mean, it's a good game. It's well done.
Well, I was going to say, I imagine there was a reason it's currently the most popular game ever.
It's free.
So, well,
the fact
that
it's free helps it, but...
And then I'm sure they make a ton of money on a free game, so...
They do.
They've made like two games off me.
Yeah, they've got, $90 off of me so far.
Although,
one of those was the,
how much time have you put in it compared to a normal game that you would have paid however much for?
Probably twice, at least twice as much, yeah. Oh, no, I'm not complaining about the value to money, but...
I haven't even gotten to ranked, and I've put more time into this than I have in most games.
So that's why I love getting games off of Steam, because, like, Terraria, I think, was, like, $10 when I bought it. I put, like, 80 hours into that game. So.
I didn't mention it, but I picked some games up on the Steam sale last second. I haven't played any of them yet. That's why I didn't mention it, but I got FTL, finally.
It's a good game. You'll like it.
I got Knights of Pen and Paper.
Oh, yeah, you were talking about that a while ago. That sounds kind of awesome.
Yeah, which is a game where you play an RPG group playing an RPG.
Oh,
so your party's like the girlfriend and the annoying brother and the rules lawyer.
I didn't think you remember. I remember you talking about that.
Oh, you guys don't read Saturday Morning Breakfast cereal, do you?
No.
They one of their live shows, or I guess not live shows, one of their actual like video things, which is Saturday Morning Breakfast cereal theater. Was Existential Dungeons and Dragons, or Existentialism and Dragons, or something, where you play, each of you plays a different part of a guy having a midlife crisis.
And then I got Dungeon Dashers, which is a D&D-inspired turn-based game. It was only $3, which is why I picked it up. I heard good things about it.
I saw it, and I considered picking it up, but I'm cheap, so.
Yeah. Well, I was already buying two other things, so I thought, this isn't the right vein.
Fair enough. I haven't even downloaded Steam yet, because I'm really lazy.
Well, you haven't had a need to yet. Like,
yeah, there's that. The last game I've been playing, though, was Assassin's Creed 4 Black
Flag.
Fun
game. I'm going to start it up again soon.
I haven't actually gotten very far in it yet, but it's fun, but they have the problem of, yar, I'm a mighty pirate.
And now I'm a game developer.
Now you're going through employee, what is that word?
Orientation?
Orientation. It's like, wait, but I want to be a pirate.
Well, okay, to be fair, what would be a step up from being a pirate? Like, what would you go to that
being
you...
a ninja pirate, which is what you are.
Okay, let me rephrase that. What would be a step up from what
Space
you were
pirate.
Doing before? Doing that exact same thing. Man, I'm sure glad I have this machine to relive my past life where I was a pirate in the ocean as opposed to a pirate in space.
Yeah, but maybe that's because I haven't played the other games as much, but it just seemed like an odd break.
No, I agree with you. And I kind of like the Assassin's Creed metafiction. Not like almost in a so bad it's good way, but it's like the bad I like, so that sort of negates itself.
It's kind of like watching a terrible 80s horror movie, and you're like, oh, this is so terrible, but it's so goofy, it's awesome.
Like, not even. Like, there are fictional elements I like.
Okay.
And, like, it's not quite a good story, but I forgive it because it's a story I want to hear.
Yeah, okay, I think I understand what you're going for there.
So, that's all I've been really doing. Still playing some MechWarrior. Got a 10-assist game out of...
Wow.
Yeah, out of 12 enemy mechs, I got 10 assists.
I assume you lived through the round as
well.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
It was an accident. I accidentally found the entire enemy team in a spider, and I basically just ran...
Machine guns!
Basically, I'm just like, hold down the machine guns! The laser's charged! Fire the laser! Fire the laser! Ah!
Oh, man. I really want that to be Artemis now. Just like you each command a different part of the mech.
Yeah.
Okay, laser, fire the laser!
But it was a lot of fun, and I managed to survive, and that made me immensely happy.
You know what Artemis needs? Like another position that's super weapon? Like the Yamato cannoner? Or...
Oh, God. You have a Yamato cannon?
Yeah.
That's a mod I would install. I was looking through the pile of mods for Skyrim that's just available through the Steam community.
Yeah.
And one of them is like, take your own notes. I'm like, oh man, that's an awesome thing. Why isn't that just part of the game? Guys, computer games, modding, excellent.
Anyway, Zach, you were saying.
Sorry.
But I think the best I've done so far in a game was MechWarrior Online, was I picked up 3 kills.
That's not bad. Yeah. Although I think 10 assists is kind of awesome. So.
Well, I did 3. I had 3 kills out of my team's 5. We lost pretty badly, and I ended up getting killed by a guy who said he was streaming on Twitch. Like, the last thing that happened in the match was I got killed by him.
Awesome.
And it was like, yay, that was awesome. I made a guy rage in League, according to his team.
He just left and didn't announce it?
Apparently, he was raging or something, because I was beating him badly in the top lane.
You know, okay, you guys don't play TF2. Instead of rage quitting in TF2, people rage change class.
See, that's way better. I mean, I can see that.
Like, a lot of people, when they're playing a class and they just keep getting dominated, they just go pyro and burn everything. It's a little bit of catharsis.
Well, you can't really change class in League.
I know, but...
it was just rather amusing that a little while into the game, I'm like, I haven't seen this guy in a while, and his team goes, Yeah, thanks for making him rage.
Well, if he didn't suck so much, well, he wouldn't have had to quit.
If you didn't know what you were doing against a tank, sorry, it's not really my fault.
Obviously, like, need armor-piercing rounds.
It was a bruiser. He's not really a true tank, is what I was playing.
Speaking of bruisers and not true tanks and armor-piercing rounds...
That sounds a lot like war.
No. It sounds a lot like Starwall, just the tip, where you penetrate gooey hearts with your armor-penetrating horn.
Okay. Okay, you drew the connection. I'll accept it.
Well, remember, I managed to get you through the back.
Yeah, that was... You were going really fast, though, so it was a pretty... Okay. So we've mentioned it, I think, only briefly. Starwall is a game that's currently in Kickstarter phase. I think it's like $3 and you get a copy of the game, so go fund that, guys. You play multicolored celestial narwhals who try to stab each other in the heart with their lightsaber horns, and it goes into slow-motion shaky cams every time you get close.
This game sounds horrible, but play it, or even watch a Let's Play of it, and you'll see why it's great.
It's strange, it's simple, but it's weirdly fun. Of course, I'm usually the winner, so that helps.
It's simple enough that you can pick it up really quickly, but there is a surprising amount of strategy that goes into how you wiggle your horn around, or how often you expose yourself in an attempt to bait your opponents.
So it's like sex is what you're saying.
Actually, yeah. Starwalls is a euphemism for space sex.
Subtitle is also trying to reference.
Yep. The game is way more epic than it has any right to be. Like, if you turned off shaky cam and slow-mo, I don't think it would be quite as amusing. But when you're in a four-player match and all of a sudden the screen slows down and...
And you can see just like the half inch away from getting the hit as one guy is just Matrix dodging away.
Everyone watching groans and, oh, it's so good.
It's a genius mechanic too, because it's in slow-mo. You can't really do anything. So you watch where the action is. Your eye gets drawn to where the cool thing is happening for the second.
And it only lasts for like maybe a second. I think it might even be shorter than that, but it's so good.
It's not long enough to make itself unwelcome and just long enough to stay cool.
Yeah, even when it happens three times in a row, you're still in anticipation of what the outcome is every time it happens.
Oh, I missed!
And all you can do is rotate clockwise, rotate counterclockwise, and go forward. And that's all the mechanics that this game has.
And you always point in the same direction. If you're flat, you're always pointing in the same direction as you start.
Do some of the narwhals start out facing different directions? I didn't ever notice that.
No, they start facing each other. So if you start on the right side of the screen, you start facing left. And if you start on the left side of the screen, you start facing right.
And you can't change that.
No. Well, you can roll over, but then you're exposed.
But that can have advantages. So.
Yeah. And I've been doing this for a while, and I realize now that the audience cannot see my hand gestures.
My mom would yell at you for using hands while you talk.
I don't really think that added anything to your explanation anyway. I think your explanation was clear enough without them.
So it's a great game. Just type in Starwall and you'll find it. Play it. Fall in love with it. Kickstart it. This is going to be the new Minecraft, guys.
I really wanted to support online multiplayer, although I feel like input time, like lag, would kill it, but I don't know.
It would hurt it a lot, but it's a pretty simple game, so there might not be much lag.
Though I feel as though a lot of that, the reason that has made it kind of special is just with the guys on the couch with you. I don't think having it online with a stranger would be quite as...
I definitely only play with friends, fun. But if we had like a voice server with just like some random person that I actually know, that would be...
So we could get Ed in on it and he could super lag because he's in the Germany?
I think he actually has lower latency than some other people that I occasionally play online with, so... And he's communicating across the Atlantic. Yeah, I think his ping's only like 110 or 160 or something, which is only twice what it is for most in the U.S.,
Oh, okay. So,
mine's usually about 50, 60.
About twice, plus or minus a factor of 1.3.
I've also had pings of 100.
So, yeah, I don't know. Starwalls, guys, it's freaking amazing.
All right, so speaking of simple games, light gun games. Who here has played some light gun games? One of my first games was Super Mario Bros. Duck Hunt, and Duck Hunt is fun, yo, even with that stupid dog.
My Super Mario Bros. Are you talking about the combo pack?
Yeah.
Yeah, my grandparents owned that. That was my first light gun game.
It was mine as well, because my cousin had an NES, and he had a Duck Hunt.
Yeah, it was a launch title for a long time. Or not a launch title,
a pack-in?
Yeah.
Now that I'm thinking about it, why the hell did my grandparents own that? Anyway.
They own an NES?
Yeah, they bought an NES. No, I'm wondering why they own the NES, because they never played it, and I'm wondering why they got it in the first place.
Well,
anyway.
It's kind of probably the same reason my parents bought a Wii.
Oh, well, fair enough. So my parents bought a Super Nintendo, but they actually played that until they found out that their three-year-old was better at video games than they were, so then they kind of gave up at that point.
Also, Time Crisis is an arcade staple. Whenever I'm in an arcade,
oh, yeah.
Although Time Crisis 4 is terrible.
I don't think I've done that one.
There's like biomutant terrorists. Like the terrorists are releasing the Zerg is the plot, and so you have to stop them.
No, the last...
That is pretty dangerous, though.
We usually do Time Crisis 2 or Time Crisis 3, depending on what's available, but...
2 used to be most common. I think 3 is more now, but yeah.
It's pretty... I don't know. It's a lot of fun.
Well, there's just something entertaining about having the light gun...
Well, and their guns have, like, haptic feedback, so when you have the machine gun, it goes...
Yeah, it's cool.
And then there's the simpler House of the Dead, stuff like that. If you've never played one of these games, basically it's a game where you have a gun, you point at the screen and shoot, and that's the mechanic.
They're really popular in arcades.
Well,
like, when you look around in arcade, we'll have one of these, most likely.
That is, I think, they're designed for arcades. Like, they're so flashy that, like, people are in dynamic action poses. Like, it's perfect advertising for itself.
Also, it doesn't port to a console super well, so it's a draw for an arcade.
Yeah.
Although, I really, if I had, like, a Time Crisis hookup of some sort that I could use...
They made one for the PS2.
Yeah, I know. I feel like that would actually be pretty decent, but...
You have to, like, stand up, though, because Time Crisis in particular has a pedal that determines if you're taking cover or not.
Although I stand when I play Guitar Hero.
Yeah, I've noticed you do that.
So I didn't mention this because apparently it needs a proprietary cable, but I picked up Rocksmith recently.
Yeah?
I don't know. There's that. I can't play it because it requires a proprietary USB patch cable, which I don't own, but they sold it on Steam. So think about So they sold a game that requires hardware through Steam. I'm not sure what they were thinking.
They probably also sell the hardware?
Not
separately?
Yeah, well, you can buy it on, like, eBay or Amazon, but... Huh.
Can't download the hardware?
Nope. Well, not yet. Not until I get a 3D printer. The day is coming. Star Trek Replicators. It's going to be awesome.
I'm looking forward to it. I can print a Tower of Pimps.
So what I really want to do is get to the point where we can serialize the human brain and then print arbitrary bodies so that we can, like, print a body made for living on Mars and then just upload our brain to it. Then you can have, like, 5 copies of yourself running around the universe and then, like, all get together at a bar on occasion.
Oh,
5 copies of you running around the universe.
Wouldn't it be fantastic? Imagine all the useless shit I would get done.
That's a terrifying thing.
I could be my own League of Legends team.
Oh, yeah, speaking of which, when does the actual season for the Fantasy League start?
I'm not sure if it's going to. Like, the site hasn't been updated in months, and so I'm curious if it is. Okay. It should start January 17th.
Okay,
I have to ask. Do you think their layout is really bad?
Well, for their website, it's confusing as hell, if nothing else. So
I'm not the only one.
Okay.
I had a really hard time finding anything, so.
Same here. Jeremy was saying that he didn't think it was all that bad, and I was...
Like, in order to search for your league, I had to make an account. But now that I have an account, without logging in, I can just post a link to that league. So I don't know why they don't make it
public. I don't know.
Oh, no. It's really confusing. But from the brief research I did from a time when I was working on a fantasy football simulator, it's actually very similar to most fantasy football websites. So
the NFL one is really well done, in my opinion. That's probably what I'm comparing it to.
There are some other ones hosted by, like, ESPN has its own. It's not very good. The NFL one is by far the best.
The Xbox One has one that's native.
Why?
Because footballs.
Okay, yeah, good point.
And on that note, yes, we are still doing the League of Legends Fantasy League.
If it's running, we're doing it. Last time on video games, I'm Jeremy. What's your name?
I think the sign-in name I used was the same one I have in League of Legends, which is Hambone.
I think I'm Mizzo. Okay. Or Mizari or something to that effect.
Choose Meteos, he's good. Don't choose Aframu, he's terrible.
I think I'd have to take Crepo.
Crepo's pretty good.
I'm going to choose 5 random people.
You should do it based on how cool their name is.
Yeah, so that's a pretty good
reason. So that would probably leave you with Zion, Spartan, Meteos.
Crepo plays one of my favorite champions.
Crepo.
Mancloud is probably the coolest name among mid laners, but I'm thinking...
Mancloud?
Yeah, it was Mana Cloud, but it was a little too long, so he changed it to Mancloud. Who's the coolest AD carry name? Wild Turtle is up there. Whiz Fusion is a pretty good name.
I don't know, Wild Turtle?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
He's the one with like 5 Challenger accounts,
and, well,
right?
And their mid laner Bjergsen now has 3 to compete with him.
So this is completely random, but I worked with a guy who did a fantasy basketball league thing.
Yeah.
And he chose a bracket based on what mascot would kill the other mascot in a fight.
Yeah.
He won our league. So
That's a good strat. Unorthodox, but good.
I actually won 2 of my fantasy leagues this year in football. Came in 2nd and 3rd.
That's actually pretty good.
Out of 5?
4.
Okay.
I demolished my dad in the final game of one of them. I did not lose to my dad all year. I beat him every game we played. It was awesome.
How does he feel about that?
Devastated.
Okay.
And I draw strength from his sadness.
You live vicariously through his woe that you have inflicted.
So what about other peripheral controllers? You were talking about Rocksmith, where you use a guitar as the...
Yeah, that's which is... Or guitars, or Guitar Hero, where you use, like...
A faux guitar?
Yeah.
Although I liked Guitar Hero. You still have Rock Band?
I have Rock Band on 2 different consoles.
Yeah, well, I was wondering because...
We should play that sometime. Rock Band's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was wondering, is because I'm like, I don't remember where that went. I know Jeremy had it for a while.
I have our 360 copy, and then I have a Wii copy as well. I think I also have Guitar Hero 4 for Wii.
Yeah, I think we have that one as well. I played Guitar Hero 2 recently on the PS2, and it's still a lot of fun. I don't know why I stopped playing it, but my fingers are all out of shape.
Because Guitar Hero 3 came out?
No, Guitar Hero 3 is terrible.
Or Rock Band came out?
I just stopped playing all of them altogether.
Well, they were a fad for a long time, and they kind of died out. And I mean, you were probably you were probably sick of them, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it was actually market saturation. They reached a point where we could not tolerate any more of it. They should have kept us waiting.
Yeah.
Well, like, with Rock Band, they started packaging all the peripherals. So when it first came out, it was like $180 or something like that.
Which is a pretty prohibitively expensive video game.
Well, it hit so hard, though, as a fad, that everybody had it.
That is true. And so I'm trying to think of the Power Glove. That was a thing.
Oh.
The Virtual Boy. That was a thing.
That's not a peripheral. That's a console.
Okay.
Believe it or not.
I think a lot of the reason people have problems with Wii is the Wiimote kind of feels like it should be a peripheral rather than an actual controller.
I disagree, but I guess if there's that's perception, then...
I agree with your disagreement, but I think that is prevalent perception.
I actually kind of agree with Tyler, because it's more of a... For me, it's not a traditional controller layout, that it feels like you need a classic or GameCube controller, and the Wiimote should just be an extra cool thing.
With the Nunchuck, it's a perfectly serviceable controller by itself. It's just weird because it's not all one piece, and people aren't used to that.
Which I actually found it very freeing, and I liked it, but...
Yeah, me too. Whenever I played games like that, I would always have my arms, like, on the back of the couch, and...
Yeah.
I did not. But then again, whenever I play games, I have a hard time, like, leaning back in my chair and relaxing and stuff. Even when I try, like, I force myself to lean back to try and, you know, avoid... And I always invariably start leaning forward in my chair and...
See, that's why I don't like StarCraft, and I love StarCraft, too. It's one of my favorite games. But I can't not take that game super seriously. Like, my back tenses up when I play it, and when I'm done, I, like, feel like I've been working out.
I do that with Guitar Hero, actually, so...
The game I played this morning, it was one of those games that I just did not take really seriously. I was just having fun with it. I'm like, I'm just going to have some fun. I ended up winning my game, too, so it's kind of...
Of StarCraft?
Oh. Yeah.
Okay. I wonder if any... Well, I guess there are professional players. I was going to ask whether any LoL players ever get like that, but there are people who do it professionally. I imagine they probably do.
Yeah. So. Well, the thing about League is, since it's a team game, I feel a little bit stressful. Also, League is a lot less physically demanding, as silly as that sounds.
If you know the hotkeys, you're really? Dancing all over the place.
I feel like League would be a lot more demanding.
No, in League, you can pretty much leave your hand in one spot.
Well, in League, you only have to worry about your champion. In StarCraft, you have up to 200 units.
That is true.
It's more of a
production facilities
thing.
That you have to keep building at.
Yeah. So that
there's a reason I'm not very good at StarCraft. It's because I can't keep track of all this stuff.
Me neither. I am apparently worse at that than you are. So.
No, I'm very good. I'm much better than you at the early game, which carries me in the late game.
There's one game I think Jeremy was trying to introduce, StarCraft as opposed to StarCraft 2, where Jeremy was trying to introduce me to the like basic Terran strategy, and I was keeping up with him for a while and actually outpacing him on some of the stuff, and then I just fell behind as soon as we got to the next
step. Well, we established at one point I was actually faster in the early game than Jeremy was at StarCraft. I just couldn't keep it up.
I'm just not good at real-time strategy games. I like
they're hard.
Oh, God, what is it? Oh, Sins of a Solar Empire.
Oh, I've never played that, but...
Ed picked up a 4-pack, so I think we're going to try
I played the demo on my old laptop and couldn't run
it. I've heard decent things about it.
But Galactic Civilizations, which is their turn-based game that preceded that, is amazing.
Isn't that the one where they're like, if I was a harder difficulty, I would do something about that massed army on my border?
Yeah.
I feel like... Artemis does that. If I was playing on 11, I might go do something about that armada over there.
No, well, the AI will contact you and say, like, hey, I see that big army. If I was not such a low difficulty, I would not be taking this so well.
Well, how did we get onto the subject? Oh, yeah, because of your fantasy league. Okay, yeah. I remember this now.
So, peripheral controllers, Guitar Hero is probably the big one, other than light guns.
DDR.
Yeah, DDR.
Yeah, DDR was super popular.
I remember I used to refuse to play any of those games that had a peripheral on them.
I can understand why. They were a little gimmicky, goofy. But I think that...
Well, you looked goofy at the time when you were when you guys were playing it, and I refused...
Everyone looks goofy.
Well, you remember me in high school. I was a complete and total jackass who would refuse to do pretty much anything that made me look goofy.
Okay, that's only a slight... Until you added that last clause.
Well, I know I'm still a complete total jackass. That hasn't changed. Let's be honest. But that is one issue with them, is that sometimes you do look a little... If you're concerned with... Especially in the early Guitar Heroes where you had the little dinky guitar.
And we had so many girls down playing video games. Yeah,
I know.
For you to look impressive for.
Yeah, there is that.
I did on occasion, but...
Yes. Well...
I also never dated anyone, so... I don't know. I was gonna... Oh, wait. Oh, the Oculus Rift treadmill combo thing.
That looks kind of cool, but it's way more money than I would ever want to spend.
Oh, yeah, no, if I had way too much money, I would totally get it, just because that would be awesome. Well, and I think I told you guys I, for a while, was playing Battlefront 2 while on a treadmill and just running in time with my character.
Yeah, a lot of people do that, although they also say shooters are terrible to do that with, because you can get disoriented and try to step off the treadmill and end up breaking your leg.
I didn't have that problem, but this is also a third-person shooter, so...
There are Warcraft or World of Warcraft mods so that you walk when you walk on a treadmill, and a lot of people will do that. So they can, you know, grind in WoW and also...
I saw one, some guy had a lay-down cyclical bike thing for playing Skyrim, and he had it hooked up so that he would only sprint while he was pedaling. And since you get really... Like, it's really boring to just walk, so he was constantly sprinting and therefore pedaled a lot. So.
Yeah.
But no, I really just... I really want this to be a thing. I really want virtual reality to be a thing, but I need to be able to serialize my brain first, so...
So that leads us to Operation Wolf, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That is a game I would not want to play if I could serialize my brain.
Operation Wolf is a light gun game for the NES. It uses the NES light gun, the same one Duck Hunt used it. Use it? Use it is a word, right?
Well, Shakespeare would have used it.
Yeah, it's true. And Shakespeare's
dead.
To be
clearly
fair,
because you said use it.
Exactly.
Angry mobs.
Correlation and causation.
Well, we don't have as many pirates. Actually, we're getting more pirates. And global warming's still going up. My God!
The math, it doesn't work.
Actually, I think it's due to the decreasing population of penguins. I think that's actually causing global warming. So.
Okay.
But what about the polar bear?
What about the
populations
polar bear?
Of polar bears?
Aren't decreasing.
Are they really not?
I don't know. I'm just making stuff up.
I don't know.
Well, that's because the penguins are decreasing. There's not as many penguins as polar bears eat.
Okay, so Operation Wolf is a light gun game, but they didn't want to exclude people who didn't own light guns, so they also made it so you could aim by moving on the D-pad.
Yeah, that
which
works
is really,
extremely well.
Yeah.
When they ported it to the Wii, they decided, you know what, D-pad movement, that's pretty sweet. We'll just leave that in. We won't bother to replicate light gun functionality.
With our goddamn Wiimotes.
So you remember how we were hoping that we would be able to point the Wiimote at the screen and pull the trigger and have it go? Yeah, it doesn't work.
I mean, you can do that while aiming with the D-pad.
No, but fire is two on the Wiimote controller.
Well, you just have to like mash your palm on it. So
Operation Wolf is a game with six levels, six stages on each level. You move this cursor over guys and shoot. You have grenades which do more damage and sort of have an area effect,
which is useful.
It's good for blowing up tanks and helicopters, which you're firing at.
This game is about Rambo, so...
Also, unlike Dunk Hunk, you have limited ammo, and you can shoot pterodactyls like birds to get more ammo, but if you run out, you have to join the prisoners, and you lose.
Are there also chickens that you can kill for grenades?
Yes, starting on the second stage, you can kill chickens, and they will drop grenades.
Because that makes sense.
They just laid an egg.
A very dangerous egg.
And aiming with the D-pad, it's kind of a terrible game. I didn't play much of it.
No,
I played the most of it.
Really, I feel like this wouldn't have been that great a game even with a light gun. I played Duck Hunt is a better light gun game than this, I think. So.
Well, this one's more complicated. It has ammo. You have to conserve it. You have to
choose
your
shots.
There's
a lot going on the screen, though.
With the light gun, it would have been much better because
oh, yeah,
it'd be much more dynamic. Right now, I mean, you're sitting there and it's like, there's not really any feedback for what you're doing, and it's just, it's awful. I couldn't bring myself to play more than 10, 20 minutes of it.
I think I gave it all of 2 minutes. I did play this game before, way back when I had some sort of, like, weird setup. This was back in my emulation phase, back when I was a wild, rebellious emulator. But, I had some sort of weird setup where I had a vague light gun thing, and even then it didn't keep my interest for very long, so, I don't know. It's kinda, eh.
Yeah. That's where I go, America. You're the special forces. You gotta rescue the prisoners.
The prisoners, which you have to join if you run out of ammo.
And if you shoot medics, you take damage.
That's because they have reflector shields.
Oh.
Your damage bar fills up instead of draining. That's different.
Yeah. Although I've played games that have done that before, so I can't remember which.
Yeah. Should we just move on?
Yeah, okay. Guys, Operation Wolf, don't buy it.
Yeah.
It's skip. It's bad.
Skip plus one. By
dodge it.
What's that? What's the game where you're the president driving a mech? Metal Wolf Chaos?
I don't know, but that
play
sounds
that
awesome. Let's say
I think it's Metal Wolf Chaos.
Say if Claymates is on the virtual console, you should go buy that. That's awesome.
All right. So since this has been two crappy games in a row,
I liked Secret of Mana.
You're
two
outvoted.
Crappy games in a row. And I didn't play much of either. I want to make something or make the next assignment something I want to play. I really have a craving to play Banjo-Kazooie. It hurts my OCD quite a bit to play Banjo-Kazooie before Mario 64, but I want to play Banjo-Kazooie.
Well, then we can compare Mario 64 to Banjo-Kazooie and how Mario 64 is the better game.
It's not.
It is.
It's not.
Okay.
Banjo-Kazooie is the quintessential 3D platformer. It's the best one that has ever been made.
I actually think Banjo-Tooie is better than Banjo-Kazooie. But...
See, I definitely don't, but we can talk about that one day when we get to Banjo-Tooie. Banjo-Kazooie not on the Wii Virtual Console, because Microsoft bought Rare for reasons.
And so it's on the better console.
So it's on the Xbox 360 instead. I think, like, was Microsoft to just buy Rare to deny them to Nintendo?
I think they might have.
Or they wanted access to Perfect Dark for the really, really, really sh** release
and Viva Pinata. They needed Viva Pinata so
that
they put the sound effects in Halo.
That is the only game I have ever seen put someone to sleep.
Viva Pinata?
Mm-hmm. It's also a pretty good game. It's a spreadsheet game, though.
It knocked Chris out.
Remember like when we TKO. Saw Pootie Tang and that put Chris into a coma?
Yeah, we could not wake him to save our lives.
And people I like have favorably reviewed Pootie Tang since then, so it makes me think maybe I should give it another try, but...
It was actually mildly hilarious. We just left in the middle of it, so...
Yeah, Viva Pinata is not a bad game, but also not the one we're playing.
No, Banjo-Kazooie, great game. 5 stars, would play again. We'll play again.
Bree!
That was not very good. Okay, that was... Do that again.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Bree!
This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games. Copyright 2014.
All the video games and other media mentioned herein are copyright of their respective owners.
Unfortunately, I don't own Square Enix. You can contact us at LTOVG at lasttimeonvideogames.com or Tyler at lasttimeonvideogames.com
or Jeremy, G-E-R-E-M-Y, at lasttimeonvideogames.com
and the best one, Zach, at lasttimeonvideogames.com.
Our primary source of interaction is lasttimeonvideogames.com, where you can find all sorts of written material in addition to the podcast.
If you want to follow us on Google+, plus.google.com/plus/lasttimeonvideogames.
If you're one of those weird people who uses Twitter, we are at LTOVG.
Quick, press X. Too late. You failed. The podcast is over.
Spider break.
Spider break. Spider break.